Okay, say this, the Word of God.
The Word of God
is
the answer.
Let's make it personal. The Word of God,
the Word of God is
the answer for me. Now turn to your neighbor, Look at him, don't be afraid. Don't let them back you down. Say, neighbor, the Word of God,
the Word of God is
your answer.
Your answer.
Your answer. Amen. Now, here's what we're doing, and we try to help. We put the scriptures up on the monitor. We always turn and like to flip. So if you like to turn in your Bible, you can. But we're going to put our text up on the monitor so we can move pretty quick through the text because we're doing some other things tonight. So what are we talking about? We're talking about divine secrets of the productive life. Divine secrets of the productive life. This is our third lesson. In lesson one, we talked about barrenness. That barrenness is an unacceptable state. It's not God's will for you to be barren. Lesson two, last week, we talked about fruitfulness and what productivity is. Now, today we're going to introduce Mark 4, but we ain't going to look at it. We're going to look at Luke over there, but we're going to talk about the law of the seed. Now, do this for me. Hit one of your ears like that. Now, do the other ear. Okay. So when you come to church, you got to listen out of both of your ears. Okay. Number one, I want you to listen to this lesson tonight on a personal level. Family, job, profession, career, dream, whatever God put in you, I want you to be listening. God gonna give you some keys, some principles, how to make the dream come true, how he works with you to make your dream come true. Okay, then come on, do your other ear, Okay, we're gonna listen as a group. We're not a church yet, but God is forming a church. Okay, so we have to always listen at the word out of what is God saying to us, the church. What is God? In other words, how does God operate the church? So we're going to learn some things about that. Say the law of the seed. Say the law of the seed. So in Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 4 through 8 and then verse 11. Now, remember, we're going to Mark 4. But it's also recorded, and I wanted you to see something in Luke chapter 8. Let's look at it. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a what? He spake a what? He spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, and withered away because it lacked no moisture. And some seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell on good ground, sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. Now watch this. Jesus often told natural stories or natural illustrations, but he was always communicating spiritual truths. So now he's going to begin to interpret it. I wanted you to turn to Luke because Luke gives definition to what that seed is. Okay. Now notice he says the parable is this and the seed is what? Now the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now, 1984, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was asleep, and he normally speaks to me in my sleep life. I wake up, I hear the word of the, I hear God's voice, and this is what he said in the summer of 1984. He says, the word is the answer. The word is the answer. So whatever dream that God has placed in your heart, whatever dream, every vision, every ambition that he's placed on the inside of your heart, he's going to give you what it takes to bring that to pass. And God is going to build a great church. Faith Chapel is going to be a great church. And he's going to give us everything that we need to get the job done. But watch this. It's in the word. Come on, say it's in the word.
It's in the word.
Come on now. Health is in the word. Spiritual growth is in the word. Mental health is in the word. A good family life is in the word. House in the word. Car in the word. Job in the word. Victory in the word. Everything. Come on, say it's in the word. Everything you need is in the word. And the Bible says that the seed is the word of God. Now, I'm going to give you four maximums today. How many?
Four.
Okay. A maximum is just a, watch this, short statement expressing a general truth or a general rule of conduct. A maximum. I'm going to give you four maximums. Four that's going to be critical. It's going to open the door for us to mark four. We need to understand what I'm going to teach you tonight. It's the key. It's the key now to understanding Mark 4. And remember, Mark 4 is the most important chapter in all the Bible for the believer. So watch this. Four maximums. Say four.
Four.
How many?
Four.
How many?
Four.
Four maximums. Here's the first maximum. God never gives fruit. He gives us seed. That's the first maximum. God never gives us what?
Fruit.
He gives us what?
Seed.
God never gives us fruit. He gives us what?
Seed.
Now, the word fruit there means the finished product, the end result. Now, watch this. Listen carefully. God never gives you and I gives us the finished product. He never gives us the end result. God always gives us seed. Now let's see what the word has to say about that. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now that's the first maximum, and now I'm gonna expound on each one of them. But I want to give you a proof text because you're gonna learn how to cooperate with God. And it's gonna take away a lot of discouragement. Because I've experienced discouragement. Anybody ever experienced discouragement? Oh, it was terrible. Oh, I thought I was demonized. Oh, my goodness. I thought something needed to be cast out of me. Oh, so discouraged. Now, watch this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, we're going to look at the B, A part of it, and then we'll come back and look at the B part. Now, he that ministers seed to the
sower.
The word minister means provide. He provides seed to the
sower.
So God's responsibility is to provide you what? Seed to what?
Sow.
Okay, now listen carefully now. It is his responsibility to not give you the finished product, not give us the end result. It is his responsibility to give us the seed. Got that? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the book of beginnings, and let's see what the scripture says in verse 11 and 12. Now look at verse 11 and 12. And I highlighted some things so that you will see something. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring what? Forth. Grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Now notice you got the earth bringing forth, but notice the key to the fruit is the seed. Look at the next verse. It says, and the earth brought forth, again, earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the fruit yielding, fruit trees yielding fruit, seed, fruit, seed, fruit. The fruit is the finished product. The fruit is the end result. It's your dream. It's what you believe in God for. But God never, never, whether it's a church, God is never going to give you the finished product. You understand? We're never going to always start off having everything we need. You understand that? So if you understand this, you can know that God is working with you. If he's giving you seed, he's working with you. Does that make sense to you? Now, listen carefully. God, in the beginning, and see, can you agree with this? See, can you agree with it? We're talking about in the beginning, in the garden. God was aware that man needed housing. He was aware that man needed furniture and buildings and appliances and cars and clothes and computers and airplanes. Question, was God aware? Was God aware?
Yes.
Yes, he was aware. Now watch this. Yet God did not create any of those things. There's no house in the garden, no airplanes in the garden, No computers in the garden. No furniture in the garden. But what did God give man in the garden? The material resource. It was in the earth. He gave man the raw material to produce the airplanes and the computers and the houses and the furniture and all that. But God knew man needed the finished product, but he didn't give man the finished product. He gave him the raw material. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay, now listen carefully. God's plan for man is that man exercise dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
He wanted man to be fruitful. We know it. Genesis chapter 1. In other words, God expected Adam to take the seed, the raw material, and bring forth the idea that he put in his mind. Okay, now watch this. The idea for a house, the idea for a car, the idea for computers, the idea for all these things, transportation and roads, God put the idea in man's mind, right? God intended for man to take the raw material and bring the idea to pass. Is anybody following me? Now I'm talking about your dream now. I'm talking about your dream. Listen at this. How many of you parents? Wave at me. Watch this. Here's a revelation for you. You're a parent? Here's a revelation for you. God didn't give you children. Yes, he did. I know the Lord gave me my children. No, he didn't. What? No. He gave you seed. And you and your spouse got together.
Okay.
And you planted the seed. And you got the fruit. Right? Come on, say, that's interesting. Watch this. Faith Chapel is what people would call a mega church.
Okay.
It's a mega church.
Yeah.
Okay. But God didn't give us a mega church.
Okay.
God gave me a seed.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me four people. Me, my mother, my wife, and a friend.
Amen.
I wish I'd have walked up one day and bought a mega church. God said, wow, that's a mega church. I call you to be the pastor of a mega church. Right there, right there. You're the pastor of the mega church. No. Watch this. He didn't give me buildings in the den of our house. No money. No backing, just a Bible and seed. Okay, you got to listen out of both of your ears now. Now listen at this. What is your dream? Close your eyes. What is your dream? What is your goal? What is your ambition in life? What is it that you want to come to pass? And if you don't know, you need to spend time. Okay, open your eyes up. God is not going to give that to you. He's going to give you the seed to it. Now, here's the first maximum. God never gives the fruit. He always gives us seed.
That's good.
Okay, that's not hard, is it? Now, it's not going to be hard. Let's go to the second maximum. The second maximum, just four, your future is in your seed. Your what?
Future.
It's in your
seed.
Your future's where?
In your seed.
Where's my future?
In my seed.
Where your future?
In my seed.
It's in your seed. Now, let's look at a proof text and then I'm going to explain some things to you. Listen, look at Genesis 12. This is, it's going to open up a world for you. The first parable God taught me was Mark chapter 4, and I didn't have a clue. Wonder why he's teaching me this. I didn't have a clue. What? Everything that I was going to accomplish I had to understand God deals with seeds. He doesn't give us results. He gives us seed. He gives us seed, watch this now, because he wants our participation. You understand? And that's the beauty of being in the kingdom, of being saved. The God of the whole universe, the God of the whole world is inviting us to participate in our own miracle. Okay, let's give a proof text. Proof text. Your future's in your seed. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Now watch, wait, look at the promise. He said, and I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Right? That's a big promise, isn't it? Now, let's look at the next verse. Let's look at the next verse. Let's go over to Genesis 15. Let's go to Genesis 15 and let's see how God was going to make him great. Abraham said to the Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go what?
Child.
And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Next verse. And Abraham, behold, thou hast given me no seed. Abraham said, you told me about my future, but you didn't give me no seed. But my future is in my
seed.
My future is in where?
My seed.
Now, we all know the inner story. Those that have walked with the Lord a little ways, Isaac was his seed, right? So this great nation, him being great, him being a blessing, was in Isaac, right? Listen carefully. Your future is where? Where is it? It's in your? It's in your? It's in your? It's in your? I meant to bring a seed, a peach seed, a plum seed, or something. But your future, the harvest, is in your
seed.
It's in your what? Seed. Is that? What you got? She got a mustard seed right there. Watch this. Now listen at this. Seeds come in many forms. Let's look at some of the forms. Sometimes the seed comes in the Word of God. Faith Chapel started off out of a scripture. I was reading the Bible, and I got over in this 1 Corinthians chapter 28, verse 10 and 20 and 21. And I knew God was talking to me. Mm-hmm. It jumped off the page. It jumped off the page. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a dream. I have none of that. It just jumped on a page. I knew God was talking to me. Anybody ever been reading your Bible? That's why I'm trying to get you. Start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, after all the begats. And read all the way through the New Testament. Keep reading through the New Testament. Read a chapter, however you want, and then put a pen there. And then the next day, pick back up at the next chapter. Go all the way to Revelation. Come back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Go all the way back. 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 And there's going to come up here as you're reading the word, something going to jump off at you. The scripture's going to light up off the page, and that's going to be God talking to you. So sometimes the seed in the Word of God. Sometimes seeds are children. I'm going to say something about that in a moment. Sometimes our seed is our kids, our children. Watch this. Sometimes seed is other people. He gave me four people, mom, wife, friend. Sometimes our seed is our gift, our talent. Our gift, our talent. Sometimes our seed can be money. It's money. It's money. And it may not, watch this. It may not be a lot of money. But that's my what? Seed. Sometimes the seed is just a thought. A thought. Sometimes the seed is a spoken word. Sometimes my seed can be my action. Sometimes my seed can be my time. Your future's in your seed. Listen at this. One of the secrets of productivity is to discover what your seed is. To recognize it, plant it, and cultivate it. I discovered that my seed gift was teaching. Once I realized that it was my seed gift, then I read everything I could on teaching. I read books on teaching. I watched folk teaching because I discovered that that was my seed gift. So the one of the keys to productivity is to recognize what my seed is. Plant it, cultivate it. Now listen to this statement. Some believers are looking for the fruit while overlooking and neglecting their seed. Now I'm gonna let that soak for a second. And sometimes we're discouraged because we're looking for fruit. So we overlook and neglect the seed. And here God is waiting on you. See, you say, well, I don't understand why you don't bless me. I don't understand why, what's taking so long? What's taking so long? I I've been believing for a long time. See, some of us, we are overlooking our seed and neglecting it because we're looking for fruit. Oh, that's good. Watch this. You ready for this? There's going to be a lot of power thoughts today. You have enough to get started. You have enough to get started. Peach seed. You always have enough to get started. See, you have enough to get started. But a lot of folk, they overlooking. They're trying to get to the fruit, but they're overlooking and neglecting the
seed.
You always have enough to get started. Well, I don't understand what, I've been believing God for a spouse forever. I don't know what's going on. You know, what the love waiting on. Well, okay, wait. It may be a seed relationship. God is not going to send somebody to your house, knock on your door. Hey, Lord, send me to you. No, God is not doing that. God don't work like that, y'all. He doesn't work like that. It's going to spring out of a seed relationship. A friendship. Wow. When God speaks to us, often he's speaking to our
seed.
He's speaking to our what?
Seed.
Took me a few years to realize that a lot of times when I got words, it wasn't just for me, it was for my seed. A lot of times, parents, when God's speaking to you, he's speaking to you about your seed. Because your future is in your
seed.
Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. I'm gonna skip that Genesis 17:7. You can write that down, but let's go back. Now watch what it says. He ministereth seed or provides seed to the soil, both and minister bread for your food, and then he multiplies your So what, see, God doesn't multiply air. He multiplies the seed that I
sow.
So if I don't know what my seed is, and then I'm not sowing my seed, what is God going to multiply? So maybe we should stop praying for the fruit and start praying about the seed. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe we should say, God, see the seed gonna take care of the fruit.
Okay.
So we don't have to spend all our time praying about the fruit. Let's pray, God, give me discernment. Help me to know what my seed is. I got an idea. You gave me an idea. So what is my seed? You put a dream. You got a business. And I got a business idea. A business idea. So what's my seed to make this idea that you gave me? Because that's how God does. He'll drop an idea in you. He'll just drop you on the front seat, so you're going to get all the, you get all examples, okay? So what he does, this is how God operates, okay? He'll drop a seed thought in you. A seed thought. Now you got to, okay, what's I'm supposed to plant now? Because the scripture says he's going to multiply my seed. So I can have faith once I know what my seed is and I'm planting my seed.
Yes.
See, it's working right now. See, you're my seed. You're the seed to Faith Chapel Columbus.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you? Okay, now, two maximums, we got it, right? Give them back to me. I'm gonna see. Can you get, look at you? Looking at your nose. Looking at your nose. See there? You're looking at your nose. Oh, okay. Okay. Huh? God never gives us the fruit. He gives us a
seed.
What was the second one?
Your future is
in your
seed.
Okay. Here's the third maximum. The seed, hey, Ronald, what did you get this out of? Give it to me. Open it up and give it to me. Now, you listening out of both of your ears? Okay, now watch this. Okay, let's put it together, Ronald. Okay. And I want you to hold it up for me. Now we got fruit, right? And we got what?
Seed.
So God never gives us fruit. He gives us
seed.
My future, the harvest, is in my
seed.
Here's the third maximum. Watch this. The seed is always smaller than the fruit. So don't despise the seed. The seed is always
smaller
than the
fruit.
So don't despise the
seed.
That's the third max. The seed is always
smaller.
Now look at it. That's the fruit and that's the seed. So your seed, whatever it is, whether it's a business, whether it is a college degree, whether it is a house, whatever it is, your seed is going to always be smaller than the fruit. So don't despise the
seed.
Now let's let that soak for a minute. A lot of Christians in their personal life. Remember we were talking, Emma and I was talking out there about sports and athletics, okay? And we were talking about the off season and the effort and the practice, right? And we both, having played sports, we both understood that being a successful athlete is the fruit, right? But the work, the practice, the work, the discipline, all that here is the seed to this. I was talking about my daughter. I love my daughter. She's sweet now. She's a good girl. She's working with me in ministry, okay? She kind of took after her dad. Mike played a little baseball, but Mike was more of the academic kind of. I played college basketball, so Tiffany kind of followed her dad. So she played high school ball. She played college basketball. She was good. She had a lot of talent. She could really shoot, but she didn't want to practice. Girl, I'd be thinking, come on, Tip, you gotta work, baby. You gotta work. Tip wanted to stand out there and be ready. That's the way she was. She wanted to stand out there game time. And she get a little frustrated. I said, baby, come on now. I said, you gotta put the work. I saw the talent. I just didn't see the work. What she wanted was the fruit. But she didn't wanna. She was despising her. Am this making sense to you? Are you thinking about yourself now? Okay, let's look at a proof text. Thanks, Ron. Let's look at a proof text. I'm going to hold on to this. Let's look at a proof text. Now, well, look at what it says, Zechariah. Are you getting anything out of this? I got about 7 minutes, so I got to move. Watch this. Zechariah 4:10 says, for who has despised the day of small things? Say small things. Now listen to this. I'm going to walk you through some things quickly and then I get to the fourth thing. But I want you to get at least some out of this. Watch this. Listen at this. The world tends to value big. Okay, now watch this. So often, because we have a worldly mindset, believers are tempted to dismiss the small while they're waiting for the large. Okay, now watch this. Starting small is God's way. You're never going to accomplish anything in the kingdom or anything in life if you don't want to start small. Because that's God's way. Watch this. One woman, Adam and Eve. Now we have around 7 billion people on the planet. So he started small. 8 people in the ark, Noah and his family. They repopulated the earth, but he started with 8 because God always starts. One man, Abraham, the nation of Israel. One man, Gideon, and 300 soldiers overcame 135,000 soldiers. David and a sling overcame Goliath. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. One woman at the well in John chapter 4 dropped the water pots, went into the city, and brought revival to the city. Watch this. But Jesus took time with the one. He didn't say, oh, you know, it's just one little girl out here, man. I'm the Messiah. I got to be speaking to crowds. No. He talked to that girl, Jacob's well. He ministered to her. He was intentional. He was in the moment. He gave her his best shot because he knew that was the seed. That girl dropped them water pots, went in that city, and said, come see a man. Watch this. And she brought the city out to him. Are you getting anything out of this? God said this to me on July the 10th, 2017, concerning here. He said, start with something small. He said, don't start with nothing big because you can't handle big. You don't have the infrastructure in place for anything big. You don't have the people big. You don't have the workforce for big. You don't have the resources for big. You don't. So God said, just start with some small. Why? Because he understands that's the seed. Because the future of Faith Chapel, Columbus, is here. This is the future. So this is the what? Seed. I'm going to share some things about ministry, but it applies to everything. When Alicia stood up here, she bounced around like that. on Sundays too. She get happy on Sunday too. Right? Because we're not going to shift. We're going to be consistent. Now, listen, I learned this in ministry. Sometimes we become discouraged by the people who are not coming, that we end up unfaithful to the people who are coming. See, that's what the Lord taught me when he had a few people. I was so discouraged. I'm thinking, man, I'm so anointed. And you can take a bowling ball and throw it in any direction and not hit a soul. People staying away by the thousand. I'm saying, God, I would go home crying like a baby. And God showed me that I wasn't faithful. Because I was too concerned about the people that were not coming. And I was overlooking the people that were coming. Watch this. He said, true love for God and his people is not motivated by numbers. So whether you're a preacher or you're a teacher or you're an usher, you're a greeter, whatever it is, you don't get caught up in the numbers because you love God and you love people. So whether it's 10,000 or whether it's 20, you're going to sing the same way. You're going to usher the same way. You're going to teach the same way. And we're going to love the same way because it's not about the numbers. It's about loving God and loving people. And then God showed me this. He said there's a difference between loving people and needing people. So he showed me that I didn't really love the people. I needed them. So if I had big numbers, it would make me look good. I will have more tithers. So listen, now I'm speaking for growth, but my motive is not people. So I was needing people, but I wasn't loving them. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to all of you. It's not about the numbers. Do we need a crowd to get excited? See, I plan the same way, prepare the same way, pray the same way. I wouldn't do anything different than what I'm doing right now. You put me at home, and if I got 1,000 folk out there or whatever, it's going to be the same thing. I'm teaching you now so that when we're serving, because there's going to be a lot of folk coming here, and we got to know that we're serving because we love God and love people, and we are not impressed with ourselves. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, now watch this. Don't save your best for the fruit. Don't save your best for the fruit. Give your best to the seed. So once I realized what God was showing me, I realized I had to change my mentality. So then all of a sudden, I'm coming back in the pulpit now, and I know regardless to who showed up, I got to give my best. Because my future's in my seed. And I can't despise my seed, because if I give half step with my seed, then I won't have the fruit. Does that make sense to you? Listen carefully. So every opportunity, every responsibility, every position is an act of obedience and is the seed to some greater. So watch this. So when the church was small, we didn't have a whole lot of folk helping us. So my wife and I were the janitors. We cleaned the bathrooms and all, and I was a yard man. And you didn't have them electric stuff out there. I'm cutting them hedges. But see, I had learned something. See, what I'm doing now is to seed to some greater. So I wanted them hedges. Deborah, one a leader, she just get so upset at me because I walk out there and say, look at them hedges. She said, man, this guy falling out about these hedges. Okay, he getting all tripping about these heads, but I had them hedges. I'm out there. Nobody coming to the church now. Nobody don't know Mike Moore, you know what I mean? I'm cutting the hedges, but I want it to be the best. I want them hedges that when they come around the curve, or they go, hey, when they come around the curve, they're going to see them hedges, boy. Okay. Watch this. Watch this. Well, I'm teaching now. Mm-hmm. Nobody sees me. I ain't on television. Mm-hmm. Nobody don't know my name. Mm-hmm. But God sees me.
That's it.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. See, God sees me. Watch this. Listen. You getting anything out of this? Now listen carefully. Listen at this. Listen at this. Listen at this. So why does God start off small? Why does he use small acts of obedience? Well, two reasons. Well, several reasons. He wants to test our faithfulness. Got it? In other words, Tamika, he wants to see, are you going to be thrilled about the small? Because his goal is for you to sing to the many. But he tests our obedience. He said, Mike, I'm going to see. I'm going to see if, see, I got some big for you, but I got to test you and see whether you're going to be faithful with the small. So we cleaning the floors and cleaning all that, and then we preaching at the same. We preach and stuff like that, and we want the commodes, bathrooms looking nice. We want it to be fresh. Why? Because we know God is testing us. See, right now, I'm being tested, but I know it though. I know how the game is played. I know that God is testing me now. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what he said to the man. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you rule over. But I got to pass this test. See, I got to come down here. And if it's whoever's here, I got to give it my best shot. And I can't half step. And I got to share it and get excited about it and be thrilled about it and get all happy and stuff like that. Why? Because God is watching me. How many of you got big dreams? But God is watching you. Alicia, he's watching you. He's watching you, how you walk up here, and are you going to sing and be happy? Or are you going to be discouraged? And there's a handful of people there. That we're not passing the test. That's why some people never enter into the big, because they don't pass the test. And then not only that, he wants to strip away, watch this, all the layers of pride and misplaced focus and developers in our character. See, he wanted me to get right where I can just love people and not numbers. So, everybody that's going to work in this church, we got to be happy. We got to give our best shot, right? Because, see, there's some fruit coming. Thousands are coming, but we got to be happy now. If we're at the door, we're going to be happy. We're going to be smiling. We don't care if we're working the kids and it's two kids. We're going to be excited. But look at them two kids. Look at that. You're just beautiful. Look at your beautiful self. God, and so we're going to lay hands on you. You know, think about it. Watch this now. Oh, I'm past my time. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. First day of full-time ministry, nobody down there but me. And the first thing he puts on my heart is my little baby. Mike, just about 3 years old. Just 3 years old. That's my seed, my firstborn, just 3 years old. And I'm walking the floor praying in the spirit for this little baby. I don't know why I'm praying for him, but God wanted me to pray for this little boy. That's my seed. Now he's 35, 36. He's running the church. He's executive pastor of the church. Everybody, they all employees report to him. He oversees the meetings. He's the boss. They just let me preach. He's the boss.
Okay. That's it.
But we cultivated our seed. His mama was diligent with the homework, and I was diligent. I would have Bible study with my kids. And after we have Bible study, I would lay hands on, come on, put your head down there, Tiff. Put your head down there. And I lay hands on them, and I speak the word over them. And then we do Father Abraham had many sons. Boom, boom. Father Abraham had many sons. Boom, boom. Father Abraham. And I'm all on the floor and we had a baby bed and that was Noah's ark. And everybody got to get in the ark. We got to get in the baby. And now they're helping me. That was my future. So we can't get so caught up in what we want that we neglect our, see, I'll give you the last maximum through. Thank you for your patience. Listen at this. No seed can release its potential apart from the proper environment. This seed got potential, but the environment is critical. Some seed fell by the wayside, didn't produce. Some fell on stony ground, didn't produce. Some fell in thorny ground, didn't produce. But when it fell on good ground, sometimes we got the right seed, but it's in the wrong environment. Because this can't reach its potential apart from the right what? That's why it's important to know who should, we should be, where we should be going to church. I'm talking about that now. We should know who we should be connected to. We should, because the environment is critical. Culture is critical. The environment in your home is critical. Your house won't prosper if there's a lot of strife and division and discord in it. Won't prosper. And you can have all the seeds you want to, but if the wrong environment, churches sometimes don't grow because the folk can't get along. They got too much, the culture is wrong, so the seed can't produce even in the environment. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah. Did anybody get anything out of this? Yeah.